Nerds, you're listening to an episode on the Nerdcore podcast feed. If you're feeling generous, please consider pledging to a tier on our Patreon at patreon.com/thenerdcore. We have tiers as low as $1 per month. Thanks so much, and enjoy the episode!
Welcome back to the Nerdcore Podcast, the podcast that reviews movies and talks that nerd shit. This is episode 465, and it is your review of Yasujito Zozu. Good morning, and as always, it is hosted by the Nerd Chicano himself and my wonderful co-host, Young Yoda.
What's up, everybody? Been a long time. I haven't seen Raul since last year.
We're not even fucking around there. I wish we were fucking around.
I haven't talked or seen Raul since last year.
Yeah. It's been a bit.
Yeah.
I think there's some explaining to do, right, Brad?
Yeah. I mean, I think it falls on both our heads. The hiatus that happened in this.
This was not planned. I'll tell you this right now. It wasn't planned. No. Literally, we were just supposed to get done with the holidays and get on and get back on track. We were going to just finish up what we were supposed to do for December of Ozu month, and we were supposed to, just be done. Yes, your boys are back. Your boys are back. Thank you, Kylie, for being here.
Thank you, Kylie.
Back
to bring joy and happiness, as this brings me joy and happiness right now.
I will go first. I will go ahead and explain my leave of absence at the moment. So I came to my new place here in Chicago, Illinois, and I contracted COVID-19, and I have been dealing with COVID-19 at the moment. When you're listening to this, it's been at least 9 or 10 days that I've been dealing with COVID. It's not fun. It's not fun at all.
No, I'm glad. Oh. I'm glad you're doing all right though.
Yeah.
And it's sort of like it took you 2 years to get it.
Yeah. And I got the fucking Transformer variant.
The Omicron.
Yeah. So I've been dealing with that, and we were supposed to get on and stuff, and I was like, Brad, I can't do shit, man. I'm not feeling too hot, and I can't talk for more than a couple of minutes. And I was having this issue where I wasn't like being able to hold sustained amount of breath for like a couple of minutes until I had to take like deep breaths and stuff. So I haven't been able to actually be on the podcast in a while, but we're back. And that's good. And then, Brad, you want to say what you've been up to as of late?
I've just been having a horrible time at it. A few bad things happened. I backed my truck into a tree. That wasn't, I'm not hurt or anything. The truck's barely hurt. So that happened. I had a dog eat a shoe. And the number one reason I wasn't on is because I had to put my best boy, Daryl, down. So.
Yeah.
It was time. He could no longer hold himself up, and he is sorely missed.
Yep, the official mascot of the Nerdcore always been. Remember, if you go back to like those first episodes, I always said that Daryl was the official mascot of the Nerdcore, and we're gonna miss him. But it's better not suffering, right?
Yep.
Yep. Kylie says, don't worry, you can make it up by watching Venom. Let There Be Carnage. It will re-symbiote you with the audience.
I have a comment to make, not exactly to this, but I want to make this because, it's funny. The day we put Daryl down, we went to the movies.
Yeah.
Because I couldn't go back to my house. We tried. We went back to the house. We were just depressed. It was weird. It was a weird feeling. So we went to the movies. Like, I had a gift card from like 3 years ago, like $40. It's just like it all kind of like fell into place. And it wasn't my favorite theater, but it was a theater. And mm-hmm. we went to see Spider-Man. We went to see the new Spider-Man. And yeah, that was nice to have something to keep my mind off. But after that, I want to bring this up. After that, after watching all Spider-Man, I went back and watched The Amazing Spider-Man Part 2, which I never watched. Because everyone's like, oh, you don't want to watch it. It's horrible. It's horrible. It's horrible. It wasn't horrible. It was and I don't know if it's just kind of like one of those things you like. I'm not going to spoil the Spider-Man, the new Spider-Man, but I'll say it's like, yeah, it's campy. But then you go back and you think, fucking Spider-Man's campy. And then you think like Spider-Man is the saddest fucking character in every movie ever. That's really what it comes down to, is one of the most depressing superheroes. About him.
Well, we'll be doing our Spider-Man No Way Home review hopefully in a couple of weeks, this week or next week. I still have to work out the schedule because January did not work out the way that we wanted it to work out. So we're still trying to play catch up with the reviews from December that we didn't catch up with. And
I did catch up on like Spider-Man and some other stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, what's it called? I got Spider-Man done. I watched Matrix Resurrections, and
I watched that as well. I guess we won't state our opinion on that. Yeah. I watched The Witcher, the second season. I watched all that. Started the Book of Boba Fett.
Yeah.
So I have just been like binging or trying to binge. What I even watched the fucking Harry Potter special. That's how deep I went.
Like, I ain't got shit to do.
Like, I was building fucking Legos and watching. I mean, you don't realize, like, how much your life revolves around an animal until they're gone. And you're just like, I go build fucking Legos.
backing up a truck into a tree sounds like Raul going to Trader Joe's. Extremely white person.
It was not my best moment, no. Like, that tree just jumped out of nowhere. Yeah. Not my best moment, but, like, it could have been probably worse. Like, the tailgate still comes down and shit. It's just, it looks ugly.
Yeah.
I'll eventually get it fixed. I wasn't really in a hurry.
Yeah. I didn't back up, a truck into a tree. Don't worry, anybody. What's it called? That's still not something I've been doing.
No, because if you were driving, there'd be far more questions.
Yeah. Yeah. But enjoying the new place, and I'm out here. I've been watching a lot of movies, so we'll have our, I'll update you guys. Today is, I'm not gonna lie. What's it called? We probably shouldn't be doing it right now. What's it called? But I wanted to test this out. I wanted to see if I'm okay to be at least 30 minutes on the mic. And if that's the case, what's it called? We should be able to do another episode on Thursday for you all, and then we'll just keep playing. Honestly, we'll just keep playing catch up until we get done with this stuff.
If you see the 30-second thing pop up, just know we finally found a use for it.
Yeah, Raul needs to breathe.
Raul
needs to breathe. So, of course, without further ado, what's it called? This is our review of Good Morning, and we need to continue on with our month looking at the films of Yasujiro Ozu. So, today we're doing a little bit of an unconventional, approach to this, because we're not reading the two-sentence Wikipedia article.
From Wikipedia.
So, Brad, without further ado, 1959, that means there's no spoiler warning. So
no, but I did have a question before I get into this role. Are you looking at the criterion, like the image?
Yeah. I know this cover.
Yeah, with the drawing of the older brother and the younger brother.
Mm-hmm.
Does the older brother not look like Luis a little bit?
Oh man, I mean, let me see, Luis. Come and see this. Come and see this. Brad says that you look like this guy. He says you look like this guy. You're not
like fuck. No, I don't. What the
fuck? It doesn't look like that.
I don't look like that.
Well, now, not with the longer hair now. No, but I haven't seen Luis in like a month.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Get to reading, Brett.
Okay. Good Morning by Yasuhiro Ozu. A lighthearted take on director Yasuhiro Ozu's perennial theme of the challenges intergenerational relationships. That's like a theme throughout this. Good Morning tells the story of two young boys who stop speaking in protest after their parents refuse to buy a television set. Ozu weaves a wealth of subtle gags through a family portrait as rich as those of his dramatic films, mocking the foibles of the adult world through the eyes of his child protagonist. Shot in stunning color and set in a suburb of Tokyo where housewives gossip about the neighbor's new washing machine and unemployed husbands look for work as door-to-door salesmen. This charming comedy refashions Ozu's own silent classic, I Was Born, but to gently satirize consumerism in post-war Japan.
Yep.
And that's far better than what Wikipedia had.
So. Yeah, honestly. It just has like two sentences like, this is a movie made by Yasuhiro Ozu.
Let me go back to the Wikipedia and just like, so what we got? We know director written by Kogo Noda, Yasuhiro Ozu, starring Kiji Sada, Yoshiko Kuga, Shishu Ryo, Kaneko Miyake, cinematography by Yuharo Atsuda, music by Toshiro Mayuzumi, 94 minutes runtime.
All right, so
hello, Rachel.
Hello, Rachel. So I mean, right off the bat, just wanted to go ahead and just throw a special shout out to the people who did the restoration on this, because good God, is this great.
It was a pretty film. It was a beautiful film.
Oh, man.
Especially that hill. That hill out there when they're standing all that shit.
Oh, yeah.
And some of the framing in this, just gorgeous in a way.
Gorgeous restorative work, man.
Yeah.
It looks so nice. And I mean, this is the first time I've ever seen the film, so I don't know what it used to look like, but I can imagine that this is a major improvement because it's still beautiful. They did such a great job on that. But, It's kind of hard to what's it called, talk about this film having watched the last two almost weeks and weeks ago.
Yeah.
But I liked it.
There's a running theme just throughout all these farts. Films of, hey, this is the, did you just say farts?
Farts. Farts.
Farts. For the running theme through this film. But like the past like three films we've seen, it's like daily life of the Japanese.
Yeah.
And post-war Japan. That's basically what these films are. And, you know, far less compelling than, say, a Kurosawa's samurai epic, for sure. But still a beautiful watch.
Yeah. It's definitely satire, because it's like, you know, of course, around this time, right, what's the ideal family, you know, has the mother, father, what's it called, children.
The kids, yeah.
And a TV. And a TV.
And the kids are just like, those kids are rotten though. They are rotten shits.
Oh yeah.
They would be getting no TV from me. I'd be having the TV in my own room. I say, get the fuck out.
I think at one point I told my brother, man, this would be different if these were kids from Mexican.
Maybe we should remake this as like as the portrait of a Mexican family.
It would be such a short film, bro. After like 10 minutes, I'd be already rolling the credits. I've been rolling credits so fast, bro.
Why didn't we do the TV and just what?
Yeah, the thing is, like, you can't even say it's like, oh, this family can't afford the TV. That's not the case. This family just doesn't want the fucking TV.
No, because they knew their kids would just sit there in front of the damn thing. Although I will say, every time the little brother was on there just doing this the whole time, I fucking laughed my ass off. I'm just...
Oh, yeah, like, that kid was adorable. That kid was funny. Kid was funny. But the farts did it for me.
The treatment, that would have not gone well at my house. I will say that. Yeah. But I do love, like, they committed. Like, they were like, we're committing, and they just silent treated everyone. They're like, well, like when the kid's, like, signing he needs money for school, and the parents are just like, we don't fucking know what you're talking about. but I really liked the when they were in the school and they're basically told to read or told to like say something, and they're just like, nah.
It's like, I'm just not gonna talk. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And of course, you know, it is a satirization of, you know, how, like, what's it called? And a lot of it seems to be about the post-war, you know, consumerism that's coming.
Yeah, there's a lot of Western, like, themes kind of pushing over, because a lot of the houses look very, like, American style back in the 50s and 60s.
Yeah. And, you know, of course, what's it called? Japan is just getting out of World War II. They're starting to, like just like the last couple of films have stated, like, they're starting to adopt, you know, the Western, what's it called, the Western ideals of capitalism. And now they've, you know, what's the most capitalist thing you can think of at the time, you know, the big invention of the television. So you're like, these kids really want a television. Mm-hmm. And instead of, you know, focusing on the fact that, you know, they have food on their table, they have a family that they can, you know, they have an aunt that works with them. I mean, that lives with them, you know, and they have a mother and a father, and, you know, their idea, their, what's it called, their main fixation is on the television. You know, we want to what's it called, get that big, what's it called, that big technological, you know, uptick there, you know. And then at the end, even then, when they get the TV, they're still like, hey, make sure the TV is ready when we're home. We want to watch TV.
I love how the dad in this film was from the previous film, and he's just drunk in both.
Oh, yeah. Same much. Just drunk in both.
The same dude, just drunk in both. I got to say that had I been, you know, the high schooler, middle schooler in this, I would not be focused on the TV. I would be focused on that one teacher that was in there. Respectfully.
Yeah, but of course,
but, yeah, everybody great. Needs a TV, I guess.
Everybody needs a TV, right? Everybody needs a TV. But of course, cinematography is great. The editing, what's it called? The writing is fantastic as well. I just, you know, a lot of this one and Floating Weeds, you know, having watched, you know, Tokyo Story, these two never really like kind of match up to Tokyo Story for me.
They don't, I don't know. It's just these films don't capture my attention, and it could be the Western mind frame of, I need some action, yo.
Yeah.
But this is the life of post-war Japan. That's really what it is, the day-to-day life of post-war Japan. And coming from a background where my favorite director is Akira Kurosawa, who makes epics of samurai movies, he makes epics of noir, he makes epics of epic, of just action-packed stuff. Mm-hmm. To go to this, and you're like, this is different. It's not bad, but it's different.
It's different, but I very appreciate, you know, the artistry that goes.
Oh, the artistry, I mean, like the framing this man does is beyond real. Like, mm-hmm. And just some of the shots he gets, like the kids on the hill, even in the doorways and stuff. Just some of the framing and just, you know, beautiful cinematography going on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and. I mean, of course, I do like these movies, and I like them a lot, and I'm really appreciative of, like, the fact that we're able to experience some of these films. But, you know, having now explored a lot of Japanese cinema, you know, I'm like, oh man, like, you know, there's so much other stuff that kind of, like, you know,
captures,
stacks up against us, that's just better.
I am grateful that they did this in an hour and 34 minutes.
Oh yeah,
what it was like, that was a good runtime for this. Like, had it gone any longer, it might have been painful in some instance, but this was a good runtime for this.
Yeah, but of course, you know, having seen this as well now, what's it called? I definitely see where a lot of the other filmmakers I've watched from Japan, you know, where they get a lot of their influence. Like, you can really tell that Ozu has a really big influence within the Japanese cinema.
I mean, there's a lot of the nature shots. And that's the thing, is Ozu comes from, like, he was doing films back in the 20s.
Old school,
which is cool to see. And then you get to see his newer kind of films, like, colorized. And you're like, huh. Like, he was still making films up to this day. He was probably, like, I don't know, 70, 80, 90. However
long. Yeah, man was still alive. He'd probably still be making movies.
Yeah, like, and you can tell, like, some of the framing, some of the natural shots in this, like, that influenced Kurosawa, and, mm-hmm. like, it's just known. That's just a thing that you can look at this and you'd be like, yeah, Kurosawa was influenced by some of this framing going on.
Yeah. So I'm going to go ahead and give Good Morning a 8 out of 10. I like it. You know, it's a good watch. It's a good watch and it's a good one. I like the fart jokes. The slice of life works a lot. There just hasn't been anything that's been, you know, presented to me that's captivated me as much as like Tokyo Story did from this movie.
No, I tend to agree. I forget what I give. I think I gave the last two films the same score, like 8 or 8.5.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to go ahead and give this one a 7.5 out of 10.
All right, Brad. All right. That's our review of Good Morning. And I am a tad bit underprepared here, my friend. So let me go ahead and see what's next. I believe our next one is Late Spring, because that's the last one that I chose. So I'm really sorry, y'all, for coughing in there. Late Spring is our next one. That's our last one. And then our Patreon mini is Equinox Flower. And Brad, do I sound okay?
Yes.
Yeah, because I'm getting good. The one bar here on the.
You're good. You're good. Spring. Let's keep going.
All right. So our next review will be Late Spring, for Ozu. Brad, is there you got a what's it called? Do you need tomorrow?
What?
You got D&D tomorrow?
I don't believe so. No. I haven't heard from Gio when we're supposed to start it up again. Our last session was kind of the last one before we could figure out a different time, because I think Gio and AK and some of the others, they had some, I think Michelle too, had stuff going on Wednesdays for classes and stuff.
All right. Samurai sounds cool to me. We'll drink water. Yeah, I know. I'm going to drink some water right now. Or hot tea. It'll be good for your throat. Or chicken soup, you know. Yeah, I pretty much have recovered now. I don't, you know, feel anything else other than just the fucking coughing with the phlegm. That's it. But I appreciate you. And this is what we'll do. Have you already seen Late Spring, Brad?
I don't believe so. No, I have not watched. I mean, I've watched The Matrix. I've watched Amazing Spider-Man. I've watched Witcher Season 2. Yeah. Like, there are a bunch of stuff we could talk about if you've seen it.
All right. Tomorrow, my friends, let's see if we can get on here. Let's talk Matrix Resurrections.
Yeah. That sounds like a good one.
All right. We'll talk Matrix Resurrections. And then on Thursday, time given, if we can, let's go ahead and talk what's called Late Spring. But if we haven't gotten to Late Spring by then, we'll be able to talk Spider-Man No Way Home.
Let's just get the crew together and do Spider-Man No Way Home
on Thursday.
Yeah, and then Late Spring, give me till Monday or Tuesday.
All right, guys. And then Friday, what's it called? I'll try to see if we can get some movies up in here for what's called Best of 2021. What's it called? Episode, because we haven't done that too. So
Best moments, Aiden drunk.
Best movies of 2021. But thank you all so much. I need to look at my Patreon here to see exactly what I've got going on, because I haven't checked, and I need to check what's called, who we've got as producers. Great, I'm not logged in. That's fucking awesome. I just
just do an overall thank you to the names.
Thank you to everybody.
Everybody, yeah.
Associate producers, writers, you all are great.
Thank you.
I'm pretty sure Sarah Stiller, associate producer. I'm sure Shane, that Shane is still our executive producer.
So thank you all, and thank you for staying with us during the past few weeks or month. I don't even know where we're at.
Yeah, and I'm sure that what's it called? I saw that Kylie. What's it called? You're back. So Kylie PLI, Twitter, Instagram, Rachel Lucky Peach V instead of a U. Tony is real. Avril Nerdy Dad on Twitter. All that wonderful stuff.
Yeah.
I need to go drink some water. But yes. Oh, look, Teddy. Thank you for being here, Teddy.
Thank you.
I'm recording something, motherfucker. Best moments was definitely when Brad talked about his old video games.
I mean, you know.
Yeah, that was always something. That you know what? I'm not entirely what's it called? Matt, that was one of the last episodes of 2021 because that was
pretty fun. That was a highlight.
That was as bad as we can get.
By the way, I've gotten like two more badges on the Pokemon card game for the Game Boy.
All right, Brad, fuck off.
Making my way.
All right. Thank you all so much. Let's go. Keep up to date with everything that we do here on the Nerdcore by going to thenerdcore.com. And we'll see you all for tomorrow for our review of The Matrix Resurrections. And, of course, Brad. What, Brad? What? Motherfucker, what, you know, Luis? You can be on chat, right?
What, Luis?
Let me get your friend.
Fuck off. Fuck off, man. God damn it, dude. All right. Brad, send him out.
All right, Raul, thank you, being host as always. Thank you to all our listeners out there, all our Patreon supporters. We appreciate each and every one of you. Thank you to all those who joined us in chat today. Y'all are amazing. Y'all are awesome. Thank you for waiting for us. We know it's been 2 or 3 weeks, I think, and we apologize. Life happens at you fast, but to end this, I'll just say let's make this a good year. Let's make this a great year because the last 2 years have kind of sucked, so... Let's go for a good one. All right. Young Yoda out.